Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
This is the regular Thursday night broadcast for the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. Thank you for joining us this evening. Our subject this evening is From Slave Ship to Ownership, What's the Path? Stay with us for this lively discussion. Once again, good evening and welcome. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Thursday night radio broadcast for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. Yes, we are the drum. We are the drum calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Welcome to Dare to Win. We're here every Thursday night starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. To join the conversation this evening, you can call 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And when you do that, we will notice it and open your microphone so that you can speak. If you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com, that's www.usliftingus.com, and click the Ulu Radio tab, and then click on Listen Live, and you'll be able to listen with us. My name is Sister Nanana, and I am your host for this evening's discussion. And joining us this evening is Baba Hakima Kenyama, one of the elder founding members of Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. Good evening, Baba Hakima. Would you care to greet the audience?
Yes, thank you, sis. And it's always good to be back on the airways with you and with the family. And like yourself, we're looking for a fruitful conversation, and we're hopeful that brothers and sisters will take notes and take the opportunity to call in and share ideas with us as well. But again, welcome, family, and we got a lot of work to do, but it has to be done. Our position is it has to be done from a collective point of view. So thank you, sis.
Most definitely. Thank you, Baba Hakima. Thank you so much. And we truly appreciate you being with us and bringing your wisdom and all of the great knowledge that you have concerning the conditions that we find ourselves in, but even more so than that, concerning what we need to do going forward, specifically in the cooperative economic arena, to improve and to build a future for our children. So we are really pleased to have you in that respect. Thank you for being with us. Before we move into talking about the subject this evening, I just want to remind our listeners that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is having its 7th annual members meeting and convention. 7th annual members meeting and convention coming up starting on March 13th and going through the 15th of March. It's going to be held in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Franklin Auditorium, which is on the at the Interdenominational Theological Center, 700 Martin Luther King, and that is part of the Atlanta University Center there for many of our historical Black colleges and universities. But that's where the entire event will be held. And on the 13th, which is a Friday, March 13th, starting at 6 p.m., going from 6 until 9, Us Lifting Us will be hosting, as part of its annual members meeting and convention, we will be hosting our meet and greet. That is an event that is open to the public. It's an opportunity for those who have an interest in learning more about Us Lifting Us and being able to meet people who are actual members and who are highly involved with the organization, the board members. It's an opportunity to come and to mingle in a social environment and to see some of the people who are involved and helping to bring this great work going forward. So that'll be starting at 6 p.m. on the 13th, and as I said, it is a event that's open to the public. The 14th and the 15th are meeting days that are specific for those who are members and signed as participants with Us Lifting Us. So just wanted to take a minute to make sure that that information goes out on the broadcast. And for those who are members, we are encouraging all Us Lifting Us members to participate. This is your co-op, and we need your participation and your ideas and your energy to keep the organization and to moving forward to build our cooperative economy. So enough said about that. Let's move right into talking about our subject and bringing that subject forward. Our subject this evening is From Slave Ship to Ownership. What's the path? From slave ship to ownership, what is the path? So Baba Hakima, to help us get started and to set some context and background around this, could you please give us a foundation to start this discussion this evening?
Well, thank you. And I really like the title, From Slave Ships to Ownership. And, of course, we're going to talk about a path, but I suggest that it's important that when we talk about ownership as our subject matter for this evening, we're not talking about owning a house, owning a boat, or owning a car. We're talking about a collective space, ownership. Obviously, there is a need for the individual to have a sense of ownership, but here we're talking about a collective, and so as we continue to talk, let's make sure that we're not focused on items that you and I or I as individuals might own. And I suggest that this is that ownership for the collective is a natural urge. It's not only an urge of African people, but it's a human urge. I would say the moment that any one of us are born, we have an individual desire to have ownership within our own skin. But immediately beyond that, we are generally a part of a group, almost always a part of a group. And there is a natural desire on the part of groups to have ownership. It may be called any number of names. It may be called freedom. You know, in our song Coming On, of course, that was the mantra. It may be called sovereignty, it may be called independence, it may be called power, but it's a natural urge. And I would say that that it's voiced in many ways. It's not just ULU or other organizations and formations or nation states that you can point to that have specific prescriptions for gaining ownership, but it's varied. In other words, we're not going to suggest that the ULU way is the only way, but I am suggesting that it is a part of the natural urge of a people to be free, to be dominant and prominent in the space that they identify as their space. So I'll stop there, sis, and just want to make sure that we have some parameters for our discussion around the term ownership.
Well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, giving us that particular perspective on what ownership is about. And I especially like the emphasis of what I thought I heard you saying, that it's about a communal space. Ownership, as we have been exposed to in the capitalistic environment, ownership is an individual thing. It is single, and it's something that you take for yourself, or that you pursue only for yourself. And what I'm hearing you say is that what we want to aspire to and to understand is a different concept of ownership, where the entire community is part of or has the opportunity to partake of whatever it is that we are owning. And it's not just about, as you said, owning a vehicle or a house or, you know, some other object such as that. We're talking about a communal space where everyone can participate and where many different activities can take place. So,
yes.
You know, I like that. Yeah. I like starting out with that perspective. Did you want to say something else about that, Baba Hakima?
I do, because it's so important that we do talk about the social space. The individual is very vulnerable when there is not a secure social space for the group. So individual ownership and the welfare of the individual is best protected when the group is successful in dominating its social space. When I say social space, I'm talking about economics, politics, culture, but the whole of it in terms of social space. So, yeah, I agree with you that we really are one to stress social space. And by way of that, the ownership for the group of that space. Now, obviously, as I said before, there's the opportunities for individual ownership, but the individual is very fragile. And if there is not the acquisition and the securing of the social space, then we get what we got, where we end up getting battered around as individuals and small groups. So, yes, thank you for that.
I see. Yes. And what stands out to me is that it sounds to me that part of our re-education is understanding that there is no safety, there is no security without a group focus. If we are not unified in a group and we are standing alone as an individual, which is pretty much what we've been taught to do or encouraged to do in this Western culture, that we really have no protection and we have no aid or support. So being part of the group and being intentional in doing that is pretty basic to progress, I would say, as well as survival.
I say.
Yes. Okay. Well, with that said, Baba Hakima, I'm going to invite you to maybe take us a little further into this subject and give us some details around this journey from slave ship to ownership. And let us know how you see ULU fitting in on this particular path from slave ship to ownership. And before you start that, I just want to remind our listening audience, the number to call is 929-477-2789. And if you care to make a comment or ask a question, just press the number 1 on your keypad. All right. So, yes, Baba Hakima, take us a little bit further into this dialogue. And how do you see ULU fitting
yes,
in on this particular path?
Yeah, of course, the subject, you know, slave ships to ownership, and then the additional question, what is the path or the path? And so us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC, is a formation that is advancing a particular path, a specific path to ownership. And, again, we're not the only institution in the African world, seeking to advance a path, but we feel very confident that our path is well thought out. We're worth, brothers and sisters, taking a look at, and we want to highlight some of those elements that make Us Lifting Us a credible vehicle to lead us, guide us, aid us in our track from slave ship to ownership. I guess the first thing I would say is that Us Lifting Us, and we generally talk about Us Lifting Us and our economic empowerment plan, and it's important to understand that ULU is a legal construct. It's a business formation. It's not simply a social organization or a club. It is, in fact, a limited liability company. And as such, we take our legal status seriously. Now, membership in ULU, or Us Lifting Us, can be described as synonymous with being a partner in a company, a full partner with full rights and full benefits. And so we have in excess of 500 members, but those members are partners and owners in a business formation. And not only are our members individuals, but our members, some of our members are institutions as well. So as long as it's a legal entity, whether it's an individual or an institution, it can be a member. And it's also global. Our membership spans, Canada, Europe, Africa, East Africa, West Africa, the Caribbean, and other locations as well. And the formation, of course, is democratic. As we try and put in place this tool, this vehicle that would take us from the slave ships to ownership, we value the collective mind. It's generally said that the most valuable tool that we have as individuals is our individual mind, but the most valuable tool that we have as a collective is the collective mind. And so we have a democratic process where we draw on each other and seek to form a collective mind to help guide this process forward. And we have a 22-page operating agreement, or what's similar to bylaws, that sets out the governing process. We have a 4-page values and ethics document, which we're very proud of and went through quite a series of discussions and encounters to craft the values proposition for Us Lifting Us. Now, the thing that we want brothers and sisters to understand is that as members, what we seek to do is to aggregate our resources, our intellect, our wisdom, our energy, our labor, our finances, and what we want to do and what we are designed to do is with the aggregated resources of our members, again, individuals and institutions, we want to target those resources and successfully bring into existence what we call secondary cooperatives. The membership is the primary cooperative. The secondary cooperatives are the fruits of our efforts, and they are housed in co-op businesses that provide a needed good or service to the community, that create jobs, that are calculated to produce a surplus or a profit, so that not only are the members contributing or aggregating their resources, but that the businesses that we create as secondary cooperatives, at a point they begin to contribute to the pool of resources that we have, because quite frankly, we're going to have to grow into the billions, tens of billions, and hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue generated yearly in order to be significant and an aid to our people in helping to gain some measure of control of the economics of our own communities and nation. So, again, we're starting small, as everything must start, but the ambition is to become a global powerhouse as an industry and a formation or platform or infrastructure. So those are some of the elements, of course, of the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. You may want to jump in and ask specific questions, but if not, I can give a sense of our thinking in terms of the secondary cooperative, the businesses. Our primary model is called the Us Lifting Us Market and Exchange, or short, UMARC. We envision acquiring big box space and spaces in areas where we have significant population density. And what we want to do is turn these big box facilities into a multi-use marketplace that would encompass things such as farmers markets and later to develop into food outlets other than produce, a consignment component, and maybe a thrift component. These would be a shopping cart environment where people actually, you know, with their shopping cart go through and come out of a checkout. We would have weekly auctions, also a movie theater converted into an event hall, maybe one or two of those, different sizes. Office space for rent, maybe even office equipment for rent, because we're going to have a good supply of furnishings, and it may end up being a profit center as well. In addition to office space for rent, but there are practitioners in the health arena. We want to have space for them as well. We want to have a food court featuring, you know, prominent food preparers in the community and in the location. But the majority of the space would be taken up with stores, with kiosks, with stations where individual brothers and sisters in the community would have an opportunity to locate their businesses, their primary business or a satellite of their business, in a space that's vibrant, that thousands of people pass through every day, and that again, is vibrant, it's alive. And all the way from a store to a tabletop space, we envision an environment where a high school student or a junior high school student could acquire a tabletop space and begin to share what it is that they offer, a small space, and grow it into a full-fledged business that would outgrow the marketplace. But also,
so
it's an
let me ask this.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask this question, Baba Hakima. It sounds to me that the UluMart is, in fact, the communal space. That is the actual communal space that you were referring to earlier, that this is the space that people would come to be able to get their needs met for various goods and services, that they'd be able to come to to meet and greet, to socialize in. It's a space that they would be able to come to get knowledge and information. So there would be resources there that would satisfy a whole variety of needs that people in just about any community would have, but specifically for African descendant people. So the Ulu Mart is the actual communal space, is what I hear you saying that you referred to earlier. So
in part, what I would say is that our vision is really broader than even the marketplace. We really want to stimulate a community or neighborhood, well, rather a community effect. We think that it's important that there be a larger geographic area that not only Ulu, but other black businesses and institutions could identify as a zone where it would be envisioned and that we would achieve that the commerce that takes place in that zone is dominated by us. But not only the commerce, but then we have an impact on a social policy, the schools, the overall culture of that zone. We think it really important that a child growing up in the neighborhood is able to have a sense that their people, that their mothers and fathers, their cousins and their uncles and, you know, their church or whatever, is part of a presence that dominates the economic and cultural activity of that particular zone. I think so. It's beyond the walls of the marketplace. We want that to spill over. We want the marketplace to stimulate the broader community. And in some cases, it may not just be one marketplace. And then the other thing is that Ulu will not just have the Ulu Marts. We will have other businesses as well. We may be in construction. We may be in transportation. We may be in hospitality. We may own hotels. And they may not all be in the marketplace. But the marketplace is the common space, as you identify, where we incubate and help assist the community in focusing on harnessing the resources that typically flow through our community, and we're left with very little. But you're right. That space is a social space. It's a commercial space, of course. But it's a social and almost a spiritual space. I mean, you know, the vibrations can be very deep and very meaningful beyond the dollars that are shared. Now, we're talking about a big facility. We're talking about a facility that's on the scale of 100,000, 125,000 square feet. The feel that you would get when you walk into a Home Depot or Lowe's, a big box store, that's retrofitted to accommodate a lot of entrepreneurs and entertainers. But we also wanted to be, as you mentioned, a spot for education and a business incubation. So a number of things would happen. And we envision Ulu Marts being scattered throughout the world and not just in one location.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. And it also sounds to me like a major thing that's going on with the Ulu Mart, and that the Ulu Mart certainly will play a major part in preserving and promoting, is our culture. That in that physical space, that there will be opportunities for certain events to occur whereby we would actually be preserving, maintaining, and perpetuating our culture as African descended people.
Exactly.
Hey, It's a great vision. So, you know, let's take a break right here, Baba Hakima, and for our listening audience as well, we're going to take just a couple of minutes music break, and we will be right back with you in about 2 minutes. Thank you. Thank you so much for continuing to be with us. We appreciate our listening audience. You're listening to Dare to Win, the regular Thursday night broadcast for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. We're on every Thursday evening starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And this is the place where we have sobering and serious discussions about our economic situation and what it will take for us to move forward into the future. Thank you so much for being with us, Baba Hakima. Baba Hakima Kenyama is our guest this evening, and he's talking with us about the path that leads from slave ship to ownership, and giving us information about Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative and how Us Lifting Us provides a pathway for us to improve our economic condition and to leave a legacy for our children. Thank you so much, Baba Hakima, for being with us this evening. And let's continue that discussion. But before we do that, I just want to remind our audience that if you would care to join the conversation, to ask a question, make a comment, or for those just to listen, the number to dial is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And if you care to ask a question or make a comment, press the number 1 on your dial, and we'll open the microphone so that you can speak. All right. Just before we took our music break, Baba Hakima, you were talking with us about the Ulu Mart and what might be contained in an Ulumart, what is the plan for the Ulumart, as well as other secondary co-op businesses. So let's continue that discussion, and what else can you share with us about how ULU actually provides that path to go from slave ship to ownership?
Yes, thank you. One of the things we really want to stress is that in our design of the Ulumart, we really envision a good many businesses located there. It's not going to be necessary that those business owners are members and partners in ULU. It's a space for the community. And we want to stress connectivity among not only the businesses that do business under the roof of the Ulumart, but connected to other businesses and institutions as well. Really, the farmers market is a very important component of the Ulumart design. And in Atlanta, we are blessed with some very prolific urban growers. And they would say that they're involved in agriculture. Well, one of our members who recently, he's on TED Talk. Y'all can look him up. But the name of his book is Growing Out Loud? Somebody may correct me. But we're truly living well urban farms here in Atlanta. And I'll think of his name in a minute. But we're also blessed to have the headquarters for the Federation of Southern Cooperatives here in the Atlanta metropolitan area, connecting black-owned co-ops throughout the Black South. And one of the problems that our brothers and sisters who still own land and who are trying to make that land productive is to have markets where they can trusted markets, fair markets, where they can bring their produce and other items, including value-added items. And so we see the Ulumart as being a partner with a number of other efforts that are concerned with economic empowerment as well. Now, obviously, we're a co-op. We're a group-owned platform. But here in Atlanta and in most cities, you've got a concerned black clergy. You've got an urban league. You've got black universities. You have other groups. And you have black chambers of commerce in many cases, and we want to be involved with them and strengthen their hand in connecting the economic activities that we're involved in. For instance, in most of our cities, we have a ton of restaurants, black-owned restaurants, food providers. But in almost no situation do we have wholesalers that provide that food and those items for those end users, the restaurants. We want to be involved in that as well in bringing that about. So the connectivity is very, very important because ULU alone is not going to be able to move us to the space that we're talking about when we talk about ownership. It's going to be a lot of us. And, of course, I remind brothers and sisters in our 10-point appeal and plan, and you can view it on our website, the second point involves the black church. We really think the black church is backwards as we think it may be, but it's a primary resource in our community. And given the opportunity and given maybe the encouragement and push, we could see those billions of dollars being directed in some other areas. So that connectivity is another important element, but not only locally, globally. Some brothers and sisters may remember or may know that we were recently involved in a small experiment called Cafe ULU. One of the things that excited us about moving in that direction, we found out that coffee is the second most traded commodity in the world, only outpaced by oil. And at the base of that industry are our people throughout Africa, Central and South America. Of course, Asians are involved. But the plant, the coffee bean is an Ethiopian plant. And so it's our industry. We need to take it back globally. And we see ourselves involving ourselves in many industries where we have a foothold and we want to strengthen that foothold. So the Ulu marks are not only for the benefit of us in local community, it establishes a footprint from which we can then grow globally. And again, we're not wedded to any particular industry. The Ulu mark, of course, mm-hmm. is a retail situation, but we want to be involved in manufacturing, transportation, other things as well. So that, in terms of a path, I think we generally know that the economics of a people is pretty much synonymous with their skeleton, with their internal structures. If you don't have a strong economic, vibrant economic community that you're in control of, then we have essentially allowed other people and other cultures to go inside of us and serve as our core, as to serve as our skeleton. And so we want to stress that. And so we think that our model, appreciating the fact that there are other players in the environment, can go a long way to creating the mindset. And when I say the mindset, I really refer to a sovereign consciousness or a sovereign mm-hmm. psyche. And in that mind space, then we naturally do the things necessary to build institutions, to build systems that speak to our collective needs. In some cases, we're not going to be successful. You're never going to be successful at everything. But if the instinct is there, you continue to build. A mother bird will sometimes grab a hold of a twig or stick or whatever else that she thinks is appropriate to build in her nest, and when she tries to apply it, she finds out that it's not appropriate. She discards it and goes and looks for another. That may not be a good example. I was thinking of another example that I won't share with you now. But I was thinking of the beaver. I mean, one of the things that sometimes we don't appreciate enough in terms of the history of the Americas is how important the beaver was. The beaver ended up being currency at a point. The beaver, the buffalo, hides that the Europeans created by killing them and processing them, and they traded them as currency. But the beaver is unique, and it's really a lesson, because the beaver is an engineer, natural engineer. The beaver senses a valuable resource flowing through its community, and he seeks to enhance it, so he builds a dam. But when he builds the dam, the beaver doesn't just build a dam for himself. The fish appreciate the pond or the pool. The birds appreciate it. The plants appreciate it. The wolves, the bears, everybody benefits from the engineering feat of the beaver. So we can look at our plan, the Ulu Mark, and the other businesses that we seek to bring on board as having that kind of effect, where you once saw a barren land, but now because of the efforts of the beaver, now you see greenery growing everywhere. You see things blossoming mm-hmm. that didn't blossom before. And we have the capacity to do that and to do that well and to duplicate it in community after community after community, and the only thing stopping us is what we call FUD, fear, uncertainty, uncertainty and doubt.
Wow.
You know,
that's
because
profound.
Every other resource that has ever been needed and that is needed now, we already have in our possession.
You know, you've given us a great example there, Baba Hakima, with the example of the beaver. And it especially strikes me when you point out that the beaver doesn't build a dam just for himself, that the entire community benefits. So there's lots of residual, and it would be, you know, very beneficial for us to always think in terms of the whole community and not just in terms of ourselves as individuals. We do have a question from our listening audience, so let's go ahead and take that question before we go too much further. Caller 3176. 3176, would you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Greetings, family. This is Brother Kimbizi calling from Atlanta. And,
yes,
I'm
Brother
just,
Kimbizi. Thank you.
I'm thoroughly enjoying the program this evening. And the two points I want to share, one is a question, but the first one is, when you say that the beavers are engineers, that really struck a chord. That we have engineers amongst ourselves all over the place, and the exciting thing about beavers being engineers, Baba Hakima, as I'm sure you know, is they can figure out the work, and each individual beaver picks up the task that they best are able to do. It doesn't take a whole lot of bossing around to get the dam built. So that's exciting. And then the other thing was, you said from slave ship to ownership, and as you described so dramatically, the Ulu Mart being the hub of this very vibrant community. So what I hear you offering, if I'm understanding you correctly, is our ownership is to be a owner of the Ulu member co-op, master co-op. With that one share, or however many shares we purchase, we now have ownership in the whole vibrant community that is Ulu, and the economic activity is generating. Am I understanding you? Is that what you're saying?
Very much so. Very much so, yes. That's where it starts. That's the foundation. Each one of us taking responsibility and availing ourselves of the opportunity to create this very necessary paradigm. Yeah, thank you.
Well, Baba Hakima, and thank you so much, Brother Kimbizi, for your comment and your encouragement in your question. That's much appreciated. And Baba Hakima, could you tell us if, in fact, someone is interested, and I'm sure that there are those out there in the listening audience after hearing the dialogue this evening, that they are interested in being one of those owners in Uplifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. How does one go about acquiring membership and purchasing shares in Ulu?
Thank you for that. Our website is the easiest way, easiest path to take, usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus, just as it sounds, usliftingus.com. When you get there, review the information review the video at last, and you'll see us again discussing the Ulu Mart. But if you have made the decision to join with us and apply for membership, click on the menu tab that says Member Owner and fill out the form and submit it. There's a $50 membership fee that's associated with it as well. The third element is what our responsibility to you is. We will call you. We will attempt to make sure that you understand what it is that you are joining. And we'll also make sure that you who you say you are as well. So it's a vetting process. So in three stages. So the first thing is to fill out the membership application, make the $50 payment. So far, we've only had to return $150. In other words, we found that it wasn't a good match. Because remember, the brother or sister who joins Ulu is joining as an equal partner in a limited liability company with full powers, and that brother or sister may end up on the board of directors or taking a prominent position. So we really want to be careful. But that's what we would recommend people do. Our phone number, if you want to speak with someone, 404-592-2780, and our email address, our primary email address, is info@usliftinus.com.
Info@usliftinus.com.
Well, the work that we have to do, sis, and I know we're about to close, the work that we have to do is really exciting. And of course, we can get lost in the weeds sometimes in the detail. And you got to deal with the detail. But we dare not lose vision of where it is that we're going. We're going from slave ships to ownership. And we do have a well-thought-out, well-prescribed path. We will continue to work on it, and we will be joined by other brothers and sisters who may not have even heard of Ulu to this point, who will join with us and help us spark new ideas, to help us strengthen our path, our journey on this path. And so it's a very, very exciting, but not only exciting, but necessary and responsible position to take in terms of building this apparatus. So thank you, sis. Nanana, it's always great being on with you.
Thank you so much, Baba Hakima, for the great information that you've provided for us this evening in outlining a path. There is a path. This is possible to go from slave ship to ownership as a nation of people, as a community of people. And Ulu is a path that can be taken. I truly appreciate the premise that that Ulu is built on, the value system, which is around sovereign consciousness and awareness, as well as one of the goals, which is to ensure that we pass on to future generations a legacy that they can identify with and that they can be proud of and that will continue on for generations into the future. You pointed
one thing, I know we're looking at the clock.
Uh-huh.
One thing I really do want to point out, and I know you would want us to mention it, everything that we do will involve land acquisition. And we didn't
Wonderful.
Mention that. And so just stick a pin in that, is that, you know, one of the things we don't often realize when we look at a McDonald's restaurant and the McDonald's Corporation and their franchisees, their ownership footprint just in real estate is awesome, you know. And so we don't want to miss that opportunity as well. Thank you.
I think that's extremely important, that is one of the major building blocks that ULU is adhering to, that on a going forward basis, everything that we do is going to involve acquisition of land, acquisition of property. In other words, we want to own the entire construct that any business venture that we have. We want to own every bit of it, and that in and of itself creates a tremendous amount of truly unshakable security going forward into the future. So, yes, you're right. I think that's paramount. It really is, and thank you for bringing that up, Baba Hakima. Truly appreciate that. One last thing as we're winding up here, just want to remind everyone once again that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is having its 7th annual members meeting and convention in Atlanta, Georgia, coming up starting on the 13th of March. March 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Franklin Auditorium, which is part of the Interdenominational Theological Center located 700 Martin Luther King Drive. So please come out and join us. On the 13th is the meet and greet event that is open to the public. We would love to see you there. And we would love to see you next week. Come back again to hear us and to be with us on Dare to Win. Thank you. Peace and love to all.